It's Chairman Brad Holton. I'm going to bring the meeting to order. We've been in pause. We're in a 9:30 agenda item for fiscal year 2027 budget workshops number two. And we will be taking up the trial court administrator. Still present is Commissioner Brooks, Commissioner Van Beek. With that, I will hand it over to our capable TCA and go from there.
Good morning. First off, Chris Paulson's on vacation, so that's why he isn't present.
But was it a stressful day yesterday for him?
It was pretty stressful. Yes.
He deserves a day off.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
So I gave you, and I gave Kyle and Sarah, two sheets. I don't know what you, if you want me to talk about our ask, our priorities. I guess what I'm asking is, what do you guys want to hear from me today?
Well, I think that I'm going to speak for myself, but what the concept is and was that under an ideal world, the public needs to know what would be the best for the function of your area. And so the ask was important. Knowing with the sober sense that we have in a general area of about $2 million to spread across all of these asks.
Yes.
So the asks are almost in a multitude of 10 to 12 times more money than we have in the $2 million. So I think it's important that the public has an awareness of what we should be running at and then what we are having to live under. And the fallacy that is portrayed in the Idaho State Legislature that cities and counties have all of this money and we're just sitting on it and there's slush funds is not reality. And I wish that the legislature would wake up to what they've done to us and what they're doing to us. And this is this demonstrates with factual information
mm-hmm.
what should be being done, and then with sober simplicity, what we're having to roll back to.
Yes.
And we're continually having to roll back growth. Let me be very clear, growth is not paying its way. And so what that means, as we grow, we have less dollars to spend on more people. We have less dollars to spend proportionately on the new number that are here compared to the number that was here last
yes.
year. So thank you for the ask. I think that's critically important. Then we get down to the priorities of what we are going to have to live under, and I think that the priorities is a good segue to come into this meeting with what a suggested reduction could be compared to the ask. So if you just go over in general terms, in very general terms, what the original ask was and how you've ratcheted down to identify out priorities.
Okay. Thank you. First off, I acknowledge this is the biggest ask I have ever done in a budget. These are our needs.
Yeah.
I had no fantasy that we were going to get this.
Right, right.
So the original ask, I will start, it's the page that has more columns and is full. I listed our staff attorneys because out of law school, my ask was to start them at $90,000, which is what the state public defender starts at. And because of out of law school, it's apples to apples. No, you know, they don't have experience. It's entry level. And ours start out around $73,500 or something. So in my budget, I asked for them to start at $90,000. Of course, the range, as Judge Whitney explained, and I don't want to belabor that point you know, wouldn't be near as large. The second, and that was my basis for that ask.
And I might make, I'm going to interrupt you.
Yes.
The reason why the number went to 90,000 was the state legislature, in good and purposeful intent, took over public defense.
Yes.
But in doing that, they, without talking to anyone else, arbitrarily set to a much higher standard the beginning rates of new attorneys. And so they have created the playing field that we're having to play in. It isn't the public market. It was the state that put this burden upon us to be competitive. And so now we're trying to be competitive against our own state government, who chose to ratchet up the wages.
Yes.
Chairman, can I jump on that train for just a moment? Because
sure.
In the history that predates you and Commissioner Brooks, there was an attempt to increase salaries on the prosecution side. And because state law, IDAPA rules, dictate that public defenders have to be competitive. So this is all driven by state law. And so when the public is looking at an evaluation, these are skilled professions that people are in, but the state of Idaho blew past the established budget that they set, and those salaries were increased, and so now everyone else, according to their own code, is trying to meet the IDAPA rules for staying competitive. It says that there should not be disparity between prosecution and public defenders.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole reasoning behind that, that people are entitled to, you know, fair public defense. So I appreciate your comments, because when we're looking at restraints on budgeting that are driven by state statute, and then the state driving up the costs for providing mandated services, it really does put local government, whether it's cities or counties, in a really precarious position trying to figure out how to fund that. This is all driven by state statute. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Sorry for the interruption.
That's all right.
Thought it was important.
And the next column is we have four judicial assistants. And we met with Marty Danner about these, and we just asked her to look over those. We put everything, you know, what our ask was. Marty has, I know she is so busy, and she just hasn't gotten back to us with any recommendation about any of these asks except for one position. And the other column is our marshals. We have, 7 full-time marshals. They are in a classification of they're in a 13, excuse me. I asked Marty to look at if we could move them up 2 grades. This is for the full-time, and get their salary, because I think a 13 is a low classification for them. We're asking them to be moved up to a 14, I believe, but Marty hasn't gotten back to us on that. We did not make the 3 I've just talked about, the 3 asks there, we did not make them a priority, because they're it's a big number. We recognize that. Our priorities are, the next column is our...
Chairman, Benita, before you leave that, I just am wondering, because the deputy marshals are people that are former law enforcement, and help me, because you manage them. So most of them have retired out of law enforcement from other agencies.
Yes, not all of them.
Yeah.
The majority. It's definitely the majority.
So a lot of them are receiving Percy, what their equivalent
or
is
out
for
of state.
Yes, I'll say it that
yes.
way, right?
Yes.
And so when you made that ask to move that many grades, did you check with Marty on how that might potentially affect a state retirement from another agency, or no?
We met with her, but no,
okay.
I did
yeah.
not. I mean, I think, I don't think we have any Percy retirees as a full-time marshal.
I see, okay.
They're all from, they moved here from other states. And so they receive their pension from where they retired from, and they work.
Yeah.
They work here either full-time or part-time.
And maybe I'm mistaken, but those, I thought that those pension retirement benefits also had boundaries about how much they could work hours. I don't know.
I don't either, because one is from Texas, Nevada, California.
Just curious. So thank you for fielding the question. Yeah. That's all that, I'm good.
And the next ask is our part-time and our temporary marshals. We have 10, 7 part-time positions, 3 temporary. We've had a hard time. They make $23.96. Some make, as you can see, north of $25. And basically with the 35, I'll just use the example at the front door, the $35 an hour. We would like to be competitive with them for our part-time and temporary marshals. We have had a harder time filling that position, but we definitely got a new hire coming. I think he starts today. And he came in because he's got a law enforcement retirement at $23.96. We did ask for $35, but I am not, we would like to get their part-time wage up. We based the $35 on the sheriff employees at the front door, and that is a priority for us with court security. We see the full-time marshals as a, with benefits as a bigger asset. And we have more part-time and temporary. If we can't do 35, I would like to talk about an increase of what, if you guys come back with something different, it's not, our position isn't 35 or we won't take anything. We just started there. The other 3 positions, administrative supervisor, staff attorney, and court budget analyst. I'll speak to the staff attorney position first. He has been here, I believe it's 14 years. And we did meet with Marty about this position, and she did come back with the number of $99,800. We met with her early on because he was not at the mid, and I recognize there's so many long-term employees that are not at the mid, and that is something you guys and Marty is working on. And so that's how we came up with that number. Our court budget analyst, we met with her about all these positions. She just hasn't gotten back to us about the other positions. 25 years experience in finance at Idaho Supreme Court. I mean, it's apples to apples for court finance. And so we asked for a market adjustment on that, or I don't know if you call it a market or equity adjustment. And then our administrative supervisor, I believe she's 23 years here, and she is not at the mid. And so that's it. Basically what we asked for with that.
Chairman, can I ask a question regarding the staff attorney? So, Benita, when we were looking at market adjustments, because under the former 2 clerks ago, the staff attorneys were consistently passed over as not having merit for wage increases year over year. So is this, like, 2 questions. Do you feel like that he was caught up in that position in those adjustments? And then did you provide data on tenured staff attorneys at Ada County. There has been information that's been presented showing a differential between what that looks like.
You know, I have, and I believe I sent it to Marty, but every year I get a salary survey of all staff attorneys across the state of Idaho.
Okay.
So I could provide that to Kyle or you guys if you want. I know in Ada County, and the trial court administrator for her budget this year was asking for her staff attorneys to start out at $85,000. And I don't know if that was granted. I do not know if that was granted, but she communicated that to me.
Is this the, I'm sorry, I don't know. Is this the only staff attorney in that you or is under the TCA, or do you have a staff attorney for each judge?
We have a staff attorney for each judge. The reason I made this staff attorney position a priority is because of his longevity. Here.
Okay.
And the other ones.
I see, yes, down here you have that listed.
He's just been, and that's why I made him a priority. And then Marty, in talking to her, because we debated it doing it before judging. So that's how we met with her. But then we held off because we don't like to, you know, we don't like to come here right before budget and try to get.
Sure.
It needs to be done in the time.
So, Vanina, tell me what the difference is between the senior staff attorney and the staff attorney that's proposed in your priority. There's a wage differential there, but what qualifies?
The senior staff attorney makes, 2 years ago, we got the senior staff attorney got a very handsome raise. It was a market equity because she'd been here, I think now 22 years or 21. But as you can see, her salary without benefits is $110,762.08. The attorney, the staff attorney that I have made the ask for, he is $89,523.20.
With 23 years?
No. Around 14.
Around 14.
14. Okay, I got that.
Yes.
That was the administrative supervisor that is 23 years. Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
Yes. And the one other thing, when we asked for this, you guys had not had the meeting about compensation.
Oh, okay.
So I recognize that there's going to be, there's something. Chris came to the meeting. I believe I was off.
Right.
And so we didn't know that at that time.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks for fielding the questions, Benita. Mm-hmm. I appreciate it.
All right. I think that explains it well for me. I think that I think any number that we could give towards the marshals would be probably well appreciated.
Very much.
So,
yes,
we can take that under advisement too.
Yes.
So, we'll check in with HR and see where she's at. She's inundated, and kind of as we get through these, she raises whoever it is to the top priority to get done. And we can check in with that. Kyle, do you have any update or anything that needs to come from your office?
This moment, Chairman, I don't believe so.
Okay. All right.
And we, after our last meeting with Marty, we did not, it was during the Stampede Week. I just remembered that, but we did not ask for another meeting.
Okay.
Because we know she's inundated.
Right.
And so it's just, we just are waiting for her. We know she hasn't forgotten us, but has so much to do, and we don't want to appear to be pushy.
Right.
Benita, yep, it's worth mentioning that Benita has, is a longstanding Canyon County employee who has served both in capacity for Canyon County and now for the state of Idaho, filling similar capacity. She is passionate about what she does. She has led her department well. She manages and interfaces with the courts. I have appreciated not only her professionalism, but her friendship over the years that I have been here. She is retiring out in July, but with a lot of congratulations for a job well done. You've been here, what?
This go around 18 years.
18 years, how many altogether?
Before that, about 21.
Yeah, so a great tenure of service to the citizens of Canyon County and as a peer to the rest of us that got the privilege of working with you. Thank you so much, you will be missed. And so this is both our last budget hearing together, and it's been a lot of fun. I greatly appreciate you and the enthusiasm and just your care for people in the county. Thank you from the heart.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much.
Yeah,
thank you.
You're welcome.
So yesterday I sat through an interview process for the next person that might fill Benita's seat, and I was talking to the ADJ and one of the people that will also decide who that will be, and we were talking, and she just says, well, this isn't like Benita. Benita, we made the decision in less than a day, and things are never that simple. So you are definitely a known quality and quantity amongst your peers, and so that speaks very, very highly of you, and I think that you've really brought back the professionalism and the day-to-day functioning of the office that didn't exist before you were put in temporary and then finally put in officially. So
yeah.
Really, really, really thank you for your tenure. I know that for this judicial district, that's what we had desperately needed. And it was interesting yesterday that you know, we go clear up to Washington County and down to Owyhee County, and so it's a big district physically, and for the most part, everyone has felt that they are being served by the TCA, which is great. You don't hear that in some of the districts.
Yes.
And so there's such a disparity between the size and the functioning of Canyon County compared to the other counties.
Yes.
That's a hard thing to balance, and, mm-hmm. and so I'm saying you've done well because they felt that they've been supported, so that's good.
Yeah, and Chairman, yeah, thank you for mentioning the whole 3rd Judicial District. So as you've indicated, it's multi-county, and then she has to interface. She gets the privilege of interfacing with the state and the courts, all of that. Really a tightrope to walk in many instances, trying to meet the needs of that many people. I know when the prior TCA, Benita, expressed some frustration, but a desire because of the customer service nature of that to have the TCA in those counties figuring out what it was they needed. And we went up there the other day because I got the retirement date wrong, but that was the answer. Benita is out in the 3rd District meeting with the people that she serves because she lived the priority that she established. So thank you for bringing that to light. It's not just Canyon County. She's served the whole 3rd Judicial District and had been a great liaison between the state of Idaho court system.
You know, I would be remiss, and I need to say this. I hired a really good deputy, and he has been, he gets a lot of credit for our success very much.
That's what teamwork is all about. Yeah. And thank you for sharing that. It's always a sign of a good leader. You know that it took, you know, a lot of people to get there. So
yes.
And you were that before you became the TCA. So.
That's right.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, thank you so much for your kind words.
Thank you.
All right.
Well, we'll take this under advisement. We're probably looking towards a meeting that will have the groups that include yours that are asking for an additional request, and we'll probably have that all as one fun and joyous meeting, and we'll go from there.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Benita.
Yeah, you bet. Stay tuned. All right.
Okay. Thanks, Tammy.
Yep.
So I'd make a motion, we take this under advisement and we adjourn.
I second.
Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Let's consider ourselves adjourned. Thanks.